Luke chapter 2, verse 1 says, "At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who is now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. 'Don't be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger.' Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, who were praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased.'" Probably all of us are familiar with this part of the Christmas story. Nativity scenes and Christmas pageants have immortalized the moment of the shepherds and their angelic visitation and then coming to the manger to see the Christ. But this was a chaotic night in Bethlehem. The Roman emperor had called for a census to be taken, and so as the story tells us, people had traveled from all around to return home to the point that Mary and Joseph couldn't even find any lodging available. And I'm sure that this was a highly stressful situation for them. This was a time when the Jewish people were under the oppression of the Romans. There was a lot of chaos on this night. And yet when we think of it, we often think of it as a time of peace and solitude. One of our most famous Christmas carols, we sang it tonight, called Silent Night, has the line in it, "All is calm. All is bright round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace." We sing it with a great sense of tranquility. But in reality, this night was probably anything but tranquil outside that stable, and probably not so tranquil inside as well. In our lives today, Christmas time is often anything but tranquil as well. Our lives are consumed with Christmas parties and children's concerts, fighting through stressed out shoppers at the mall, last minute panic cleaning for those family members that are invading our homes the next day. Christmas and tranquility and peace seem almost to be in opposition to each other. Even tonight on Christmas Eve, I arrived in my office ready to print out my notes. And the changes that I had made on my tablet this afternoon had failed to sync. And so I was racing down 9th Avenue North to get home and get here in time to deliver this message. If you think this is bad, you should have seen it before I made the changes. You'll be glad I went home. I was just praying it wasn't going to be one of those nights when the old lights were flashing in the rearview mirror, if you know what I mean. I trusted God that on Christmas Eve, you could drive faster than Santa's sleigh. It just seemed right. It wasn't that tranquil at the first Christmas, and it's often not in our lives today as we celebrate Christmas. However, when those angels proclaimed to the shepherds that the Messiah was born, they also proclaimed that there was going to be peace on earth. And when those shepherds arrived at the stable and when they saw everything exactly as the angel had declared it to be, I think that there was great joy in their hearts. I think they were filled with a tremendous sense of peace inside of them that night. I think as Mary and Joseph heard the shepherds tell the story of why they were there and what they had experienced, I think peace would have come to them as well, and great joy also. In Luke 2:18, it says, all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart, and she thought about them often. It was quite an occasion for her. And the shepherds went back to the flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard. For those shepherds, that night was life-changing. For Mary and Joseph, nothing was ever going to be the same. The world stopped that night, in a sense, and went in a completely different direction. In a time of chaos and confusion, the birth of this child represented peace in the midst of a storm that was happening. And you know, this is why I really enjoy this Christmas Eve service in particular. This is one of the reasons why we do this service every year. Those shepherds were given the opportunity to come and see the Christ. They were given the opportunity to turn their attention to him, to the one who the Bible calls the Prince of Peace. And I feel like tonight we've been given the same opportunity. And so let's leave the chaos for a moment and let's remember where true peace is found. You see, true peace is always found at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus made this statement many years later as he grew older. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I don't know what is happening in your life today. You may be here tonight in turmoil over many things. Perhaps this holiday season is one you've been dreading. There are many that do because of the things that are going on in their lives. Perhaps you feel overwhelmed by the pressures of life. But I want to tell you tonight that tonight is a great night to come to the Savior, to pause for a moment at his feet, and find peace. You see, the coming of Jesus brings peace for several reasons. The first reason why his coming brings peace is because he's with us. Matthew 1:23 says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. I have often said to our church that Emmanuel is one of my favorite names for God because of what it means. It means literally God is with us. And to me, one of the most amazing things about the coming of Christ was the fact that the creator of the universe would come to this world, the world that had rejected him and that had sinned against him, and yet he came anyways to join man in their suffering, even though it was caused by their sin against him. And because of sin, our world is in chaos. Because of sin, we face sickness, we face troubles, we face fears, we face all kinds of pain. But what we don't face is a God who has turned his back on his creation. Instead, because God loves us, he humbled himself and he left behind his heavenly throne to join us right in the middle of the chaos of our lives. And to me, there is nothing that is more comforting than that. Jesus promised us that he would never leave us, that he would never forsake us. There was a story one time when Jesus was with his disciples and they were crossing a lake to the other side in a boat. And Jesus was tired, and so he rested. He went to sleep in the boat, and he was sleeping in perfect peace. But a great storm arose on that sea, and the disciples began to be terrified because their boat was in danger of capsizing. And so eventually they couldn't let Jesus sleep there any longer. And so they shook him awake and said, Master, if you don't do something, we're going to drown. And Jesus calmly gets up and he rebukes the storm and all goes quiet. And he asks the disciples a question. He says, guys, where's your faith? In other words, guys, what are you worried about? I'm here. I'm here with you. You see, with Jesus, all things are possible. He's in control. He's here to help us. And when you are in the storm of life, I want to say this to you. If Jesus is in your boat, you can relax. If Jesus is in your boat, You can have peace. If Jesus is in your boat, you're going to be all right. And he is. How do we know? Because he's Emmanuel, the God who is with us. David wrote these words in Psalm 23, verse 4. He said, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. If you have Jesus with you, you're all right. If you have Jesus with you, you can make it. You're going to be okay. You can get through every storm that life throws at you. If Jesus is with you, everything is changed. And so, my friends, tonight is a night to turn your attention to the one who is in your boat. Emmanuel has come. Another reason why we can have peace in the with the coming of Jesus is because Jesus is the Lamb of God. Perhaps it was fitting that Jesus was born in a barn, in a stable, because Jesus is called the Lamb of God. And we need to see him tonight for who he truly is. John the Baptist was a forerunner of Jesus. His job was to prepare people's hearts for the coming of the Savior. And one day, as Jesus was walking near to John, John shouted out these words. He said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. With these words, John was prophesying hope and peace to all mankind. You see, the Jews were required to bring a lamb every year that was without spot or blemish on the day of Passover. And it was sacrificed in remembrance of the time when God had delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. When the Pharaoh had refused to let the Israelites go, the final plague that came against the Egyptians was death of their firstborn children. But God had instructed the Israelites that they were to take an unblemished lamb and they were to sacrifice it. And they were to take the blood of this lamb and they were to put it over their doorposts, over the frames of their door. And when the Lord passed through Egypt with this final plague of destruction, he would see the blood on the doorpost and he would pass over those who were on the inside and they would be safe. And this was a prophetic picture pointing to Jesus himself. And this is what John the Baptist was referring to when he called Jesus the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. You see, the Bible tells us that we are all sinners. The Bible tells us that we have all fallen short of the glory of God. And there are many people that think they can earn their way into heaven or that they can escape the judgment of God for their sins if they just do enough good deeds. But we can never be good enough. God is perfect. He's holy. Not one sin can be tolerated in his presence. And so because of sin, every one of us, in a sense, is at war with God. There can be no peace with God unless our sin is removed. Our sin stands as a barrier between us and God. And the penalty for sin is death, the Bible says, or eternal separation from God. We cannot remove the stain of sin from our lives on our own. There is only one who can. There is only one thing that can cover our sins, and that is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so when John saw Jesus and he prophesied, there is the Lamb of God, he was prophesying about Jesus dying on the cross for our sin. He was already pointing to the death of Jesus. Jesus was the perfect Lamb. He was spotless. There was no sin within him. He was without blemish. Only he could die in our place. Only he could pay the penalty for our sin. And so when we were enemies of God, Jesus removed the barrier to our relationship with our Heavenly Father by dying in our place, by taking our punishment, by the shedding of his own blood. And if we come to him,
If we hide ourselves under the blood of Jesus, in the same way those Israelites were hidden under the blood that was over their doorposts, then our sin will be covered and our shame will be removed. And we will escape the judgment in the same way as those Israelites did in Egypt all those years before. You see, because the Lamb of God has come, we can have peace with God now and for all eternity. That is the good news of the gospel. And my final reason tonight why we can have peace because of the coming of Jesus is because not only is Jesus the Lamb of God, but he is also called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus came from the tribe of Judah, and he has been given the name the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You see, Jesus, he went to the cross as the sacrificial lamb, but he arose from the grave as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. A lion has no enemies. A lion is known as the king of the jungle, and Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is no one like him. There is none who can oppose him. He is the Lion. This is why those three kings bowed down and worshiped him. They recognized he was the King of Kings and the Lord of all lords. You see, Jesus didn't just come to give us peace with God as the Lamb. But 1 John 3 verse 8 says that the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the works of the devil, to obliterate the works of the devil. Jesus began his ministry in Luke chapter 4. In verse 6, it says, when he came to the village, or verse 16, when he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he stood up to read. He stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. Jesus unrolls the scroll. He finds the place in the scroll where the prophet Isaiah had prophesied, talking about him years before Jesus was born. And these were the words that he read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim to the captives that they will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, that the time of the Lord's favor has come. And he rolled up the scroll and he said, today this prophecy has been fulfilled because I am here. The Lion of the tribe of Judah is here. The Lion has appeared, and he has come to deliver you from your enemies. He has come to set the captives free. He has come to give hope to the hopeless. He has come to open blind eyes. He's come to declare that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He came to destroy the works of the devil. I tell you, when Jesus came, heaven invaded earth. The works of the devil were being destroyed. Hope was being restored again. My friends, if you know Jesus, then the Lion of Judah is on your side. Nobody can oppose him. Nobody can oppose him. If that doesn't give you peace, nothing will. And so tonight my challenge to you is to turn your eyes towards Jesus. My challenge to you is to come and join those shepherds and get down at the feet of Jesus. That's where peace is found. There is peace there because God is with us. He's joined us in our chaos. He sits with us in the storms of life. There is peace there because he died in our place as the Lamb of God, removing the wrath of God against our sin, restoring our relationship with the Father. There is peace there because Jesus reigns as Lord over all. And the works of Satan are no match for his power. There is hope for the hopeless, good news for the poor, freedom for those who are held captive by all sorts of things because heaven has come to earth. Jesus is the Savior of the world, and his salvation has been given to us as a gift. He's the greatest gift you could ever receive. And you can receive this gift tonight simply by acknowledging your need for a Savior. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. The Bible says that if you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, and if you're willing to confess with your mouth that he is the Lord, then you are saved. Saved from what? Saved from your sin. Saved from an eternity apart from God. Saved from doing life on your own. Saved from the storms of life because you have a Savior. Because you have a Lion who is with you. If you're here tonight and you've never made Jesus your Savior, then you need to get underneath his blood tonight. You need to hide underneath his blood. And you can do it simply by acknowledging your need of a Savior. Simply by saying with your mouth, Jesus, I need you. And I'm going to give you that opportunity. If you've never prayed a prayer of salvation, I can't think of a better night than tonight to do so. And so I just want you to just join with me in bowing your heads and closing your eyes. And I'm just going to pray a prayer of salvation. And if you're here tonight and you say, I need you, Jesus. I need the Savior. I want to receive your gift of salvation. Then you make my prayer your prayer. And God will see into your hearts. And he will cleanse you and wash you by his precious blood. Let's pray together. Jesus, I come before you tonight with gratitude and thanksgiving. That when I needed you most, you came. I thank you that you didn't abandon mankind in his sin and suffering and shame. I thank you that you left heaven and came to this earth for me. And tonight, Lord Jesus, I place my faith in you. I place my trust in you. I come and I kneel before you as those shepherds did long ago. I kneel at the foot of your cross where your blood was shed for me. And I receive your grace. And I receive your forgiveness. And I ask that you would become my Savior. I want to hide underneath the shed blood of Jesus tonight. Tonight, Lord Jesus, I ask that you would be my Savior and be my Lord. I acknowledge that I need you, that I'm lost without you. And I receive your gift of salvation. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.